It's the best Hiwi event in New Zealand, this.
Crossing New Zealand in 1 or 2 days.
Why do I do it? Because I love it.
3, 2, 1, go!
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another Kathmandu Coast to Coast podcast. Of course, the Kathmandu Coast to Coast, the World Championship multi-sport race held right here in the South Island of New Zealand. And our job here at Team CP is to help you get from the start line on the West Coast all the way to the East Coast where the finish line is. Richard, dipping your toes in the water on both sides, mate.
Yeah, maybe even picking a stone up and carrying it all the way over, getting one from each side. And the toughest job. Right? Yeah, well, it's I've actually never done it. Of power to weight ratio, I don't want to carry anything extra. It's hard enough as it is, but yeah, no, it's good, isn't it? To just to visualize that standing on the start line. And that's probably what people are doing now, aren't they? Just can I actually get to that start line? What's it going to feel like when I get to the finish line?
Yeah, totally. And that start line vibe on the beach there at Serpentine Beach, early hours of the morning, the sun's just starting to come up, still a bit sort of dark there, but yeah, plenty of people walking over, just touching the water as it's lapping onto the beach there, starting to really think about what lays ahead of them, eh? Starting to really think about their expectations and what they're going to get out of it. And of course, tonight's episode, Richard, is about managing expectations as we go along.
Yeah, I wondered how many people got nervous as you're starting to paint that picture about what that coast to coast is going to feel like, look like. The temperature, it might be completely dark if you're in the longest day. The sun's just come up if you're in the 2 days. You walk down to that start line and you take a few deep breaths and say, right, it's actually time to push go and test myself, challenge myself, see what I'm up to here and go and give it a good nudge.
What about you? Do you get nervous? Do you like start thinking about which bridesmaid dress I'm going to pull out of the cupboard this year? Or are you going to leave them all in the cupboard this year and not get the bridesmaid dress out?
I only just got the bridesmaid's dress out last year. There was some pretty hot competition out there, so I was quite pleased to have a bridesmaid's dress on last year.
Well, you know, often there's like 2, 3, or 4 bridesmaids in the party, mate.
Oh, yeah, true, true, true. Could be six or seven, you reckon. Okay, I like it. That's not so bad. Thanks, Angus. That's good. Yep, no, it's good. It's time to get excited. I guess it's time to start. What are we, November now? So we want to start thinking about really just kind of getting a bit more specific with our training, I think, and dialing that in as we start thinking coast to coast.
And that's right. And summer's here now, right here in the Southern Hemisphere, here in New Zealand. It's just starting to warm up, although I see some snow on the hills again here locally in Canterbury. So we had a small run there of some warm weather, and we've got a couple of snowflakes back up on the hills, but that's okay. So it is time to really start almost thinking about how you're going to start putting some of those longer training days, some of those training blocks together, all of those sort of things. But, you know, there's never a time you shouldn't be thinking about the day, the weekend, and your support crew. And if you haven't got a support crew, have we got a deal for you? Team CP still does have a couple. We've got a couple. Let's not get carried away here, but we do have a couple of support crew spots available. So if you'd like us to look after you for the weekend, then get in touch.
Absolutely. Yep. So there's a couple of spots there, and that's a great way just to take a bit of the organization and stress out of that side of things. I can just focus on me, and I guess we'll take you along with our support crew system that we've been doing over a number of years now, and get to enjoy the event, meet a whole bunch of different people as well. So that's available for, only a couple of spots left. So if you're thinking along those lines, definitely get in touch.
Yeah, and of course, we always talk about the Coast to Coast community. There's plenty of Facebook community pages. There's plenty of people helping everybody and all sorts of training and adventures and all those sort of things. Also, Team CP have a Kathmandu Coast to Coast Skills Day coming up. You've added an extra day to the books, Richard, the 8th of December.
Yeah, this was really awesome. Last time we run it, we've tied in with Top Sport Kayaking. So set it up by Waimate Gorge Bridge, the end of the kayak stage. So doing some river stuff, ferry gliding and reading rivers and things with the Top Sport crew. And then at the same time, doing some kayak technique video analysis and then some rock running, river crossing sort of side of things, and then some bunch riding and racing. So it's a great little spot up there where we can do it all, get our feet wet and really think specific coast to coast. So if you want to dial things in and get a bit more specific with your training and learn a few tips, there's lots of things that we've got to share. Jump on that and send us a message and we'll let you know more about it, or jump on the Team CP website and all the information is there as well.
Exactly. Now we've got an absolutely, as always, another good show lined up for this episode of the Kathmandu Coast to Coast podcast. And the Coast to Coast is often about reunions. Every year people roll up to the start line and they see people and they haven't seen them for a year or a couple of years or whatever. And there's all these reunions mm-hmm. go along. Tonight on our podcast, we're actually having a little, unbeknown to us, reunion of our own, because two of our guests actually know each other. We're going to catch up with Alice Mullins to start with, who was the pupil, and Paula at the end of our show was the teacher back in the day at Marion College. So we've only just found this out, but how good's that? A little reunion going on internally here at the Kathmandu Coast to Coast podcast.
Yeah, how good. And you're exactly right. If we turn up to the event again and again a few times, you get to know the same sort of people, and it's just a fantastic vibe, and that makes it part of it, isn't it? That's a fantastic thing to be part of.
Yep. And in the middle of that, in between our two lovely ladies, we're going to have Ben Jordan from Australia, old fingers himself, and we'll throw him on the podcast. He, of course, last year came over from Australia, did the two-day Coast to Coast. We supported him. We provided the support package, and actually, that's an event he actually did finish, Richard.
He did well. Well, do we share why you called him fingers just now, or was that more for him to say?
let's ask him later on how him and Gareth Dawes get along, and it's a story he can tell, no doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. Well done. Well, let's bring us on Alice, shall we? Is she in the sitting backstage there?
She is. Now, Alice, welcome to the show, and you're not coming to us from New Zealand today.
No, I'm not. Hi, team. I'm coming from the sunny coast, Malulabar, actually. So, yeah, good to be here.
Fantastic. How good. And is that a bit of a training camp, bit of a holiday? Are you doing work over there? What are you up to?
It has been a good training ground in the past, but no, my brother lives here. So I've just popped across for a week working remote and just getting to see the family. He's got a wee two-year-old. So, yeah, it's quite a cute time with the wee nephew.
Yeah, good job. So give us a quick background. What's your involvement been with the Coast to Coast? When was the first time you did it? How many times have you done the Coast to Coast?
Yeah, so it started back in 2019 in the tandem. So I did 2 years of tandem and then sort of thought, oh, yeah, let's keep going, and did a two-day individual the next year, and then thought, well, why not do the longest day? So did that in 2022, and then did my second longest day last year. So yeah, it's been 5 years so far, and coming up for another sixth in the longest day. So
yeah. Good. And what's the motivation like? Are you still like, does it still feel like the first time around you've done it, or am I like, go like, is it easier now? How do you feel about it all?
I think getting to the start line, like every start line's, you know, just as nerve-wracking as it always is, but it's an exciting, nervous feeling, you know. And I think knowing, you know, like once you've done the 2 day, say I did that 3 years, you know, you get to know the course and you get to know how to structure your 2 days, and then, you know, the same for the longest days. You know, once you've sort of done it a couple of times, you can kind of, I guess, learn where to potentially push harder and where, you know, you can play to your strengths a bit more. And then, you know, you throw on a few alternative courses along the way, and that sort of throws a wee, you know, mix and keeps it interesting. But every year is exciting, and I think every year the journey's so different, you know, and you meet new people and you see the same faces around all the different events leading into it. It's just a pretty fun time.
Yeah, that's cool, and it is different every time, isn't it? And do you sort of have a few key things that you're looking to improve on last time?
Yeah, I mean, there's always improvements to be made. I think for me, probably a big changing direction was sort of, you know, I kind of started out, you know, did what I thought I knew, really liked biking. So I would say a lot of my training consisted of biking. And then, you know, it sort of got to, I guess, you know, heading into the longest day and knowing that I needed to get a coach, you know, so sort of teed in with Flavio and FE Squad and got going in that space. And that's really pushed me to then actually focus on improving the areas that, you know, aren't the strengths, and that for me is probably the running. And yep. you know, it's come a long way since starting, and it's definitely room for improvement in speed work as well. Mm-hmm. And again with the kayaking too, I mean, there's definitely skills to be learned there. And I think every year on that river, you know, regardless of how confident you might be, there's always things that jump out and keep it interesting. So yeah, always room for improvement.
Yeah, that's the thing with the race, isn't it? You can't just say, right, I think I've got this, because around every corner, you've got to manage everything that's going on, and that's what keeps it fun. And that's part of your training as well. You don't know when you're going to be sort of upside down and hair wet, so you've got to keep concentrating as you go. Yeah. This time around, you're like, how did you go last year, or this year just been in the last event?
Yeah. Yeah, so this year was probably my best result to date, and that was sort of coming in third in the open for the longest day, and right, just sneaking cool. into top 10 overall for females.
Yes,
So yeah, it was a really good race day. Like I guess everything I had sort of put into the plan, you know, I'd sort of given myself, I guess, time brackets over the certain, you know, parts of the day. And I sort of knew what a PB would look like, and I knew mm-hmm. what, you know, good would look like, and, you know, I could kind of manage the timings there. And it just sort of, it played out really well for sort of what I'd put into the plan. And I think, yeah, you just never know what to expect on race day, but it helps to kind of have something in your mind of how you'd love it to go. And then you kind of adjust from there as to, you know, how the day pans out.
I'd love it to go? Was it the A goal? Is that what you hit last season?
Yeah, like to be honest, it really was. Like I'd sort of given my support crew the plan, and I sort of said, you know, if I come at this point across the day, like, you know, that I'll be feeling pretty good. And I think for me, the run was probably the one that went better than I expected, and then that sort of set me up for the day really nicely. You know, sort of, I guess, probably had a faster start to the day, and then, you know, use the kayak to sort of recover a wee bit, and then had I wouldn't say enjoyable bike home, but I definitely enjoyed the bike home, you know, even at that point of the day. So yeah, it was it went to plan, you know, and I know it often can't, but it was a really great race.
Awesome. So this year it's kind of same but different, because you're lining up with the elite woman this year.
Yeah. So
How does that change Alice's headspace, and so is there any extra pressure knowing that you're going from the open into that illustrious elite category?
To be honest, you know, I don't want to put too much pressure on it. I think for me, it's been a journey, you know, like we're 5 years now with basically doing, you know, the steps and along the way, and I knew it was always a goal for me to be in the elite one day. It was just a matter of sort of when, you know, I felt like doing it. And I sort of thought this year, why not put your hand up and give it a go. And I think, you know, as long as I keep, you know, training consistently, you know, every year has got better, and I know there's so much I can work on. So yeah, I'm not putting any more pressure on it. I just think I just need to, you know, I'll do the work that I need to do, continue to enjoy doing it, you know, because that's why we love it. And then come race day, you know, it's a new challenge and a, you know, something exciting to be a part of.
And we don't want to give it away to all the other elites that you're going to line up there with, but have you got some measures around the place? Like, are you hitting some PBs? Have you got in each of those categories, have you got some sort of measure that you use to trace your performance and whether you're making gains?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I think, definitely, I mean, the river's always a hard one, you know, if it's running low or high. But I think for me, probably the run is something I always, you know, like to gauge. And I think consistently across the seasons, it's got faster. So I think there's room to improve there. Also biking, you know, is what I enjoy doing. And I think, you know, getting onto a TT for the last ride home is going to be quite an exciting time as well. But yeah, I mean, definitely, yeah, room for improvement, you know. Even the run off the beach, you know, depending on how you strategize that, you know, it all helps to get into a good bunch. So I think I feel quite lucky with I've come off we've just been racing in China actually over winter. So if anything, it's been quite a different winter training block, and I think it's really helped speed work. So yeah, coming back feeling fit needing to sort of recover the body a wee bit before we sort of step back into, I guess, a new Trip Coast training block. But yeah, I think it's exciting. It's going to be fun.
That's awesome. And I have to say, Alice, you were going very well. That running was looking great. And obviously that was a big part of the China racing too. So well done on that one. And yeah, that's cool to have under your belt now. How have you, like, you talk about yourself and your own performance and things, but how do you, like, a big part of that sort of, I guess, nerves and things come from the expectations of others, your friends and family. They sort of, okay, well, Alice did in the top 10 last year. We expect to maybe get a few more places, improve a little bit this year. How do you manage that? Mm-hmm.
Oh, look, I think, you know, I surround myself with pretty positive people who know me pretty well. And I feel like, you know, my family are super supportive and friends as well. And I mean, to be honest, I don't really feel the pressure from those who are close around me, you know. I know people can always sort of chuck the comments out there and, you know, sort of ask, oh, what do you think you're going to do this year? But I think after doing the Coast to Coast, you know, so many years, every year is just so different. It's like someone asking you, you know, what time are you going to do? And you're like, well, what's the river going to do in the day, you know? Yeah. But I think, you know, you take it with a grain of salt. Like, I know personally what I want to achieve out there, and I'll take the support crew, you know, along on the journey with me. So, you know, the ones closest to me know what I want to achieve. You know, they're not asking questions because they already know, you know? So it's, yeah, I think it's just kind of, you know, talking about it more and being open and not... yeah, like not shying away from, you know, from what my goals are. So yeah, it's I'm pretty happy with the race plan come race day.
Yeah, nice. So what you're saying is I'm basically being clear about my goals and what I want to achieve out of that, and then basically making sure the rest of the crew is clear about that as well. So there's no sort of like expectations aren't sort of different from one to the other. So you can just go and enjoy the weekend and do your best.
Oh, totally. Like this year, you know, I feel like, yeah, I genuinely looked forward to seeing the support crew when I came to transitions, and I knew that they, you know, based on the times that, like, if I came in, they'd know, you know, whether I'd be stoked or whether I'd be, you know, like, oh, that's okay, or you know, maybe disappointed. But I just, yeah, I feel like they were just really on the same plan as me and made it fun, you know, like it was so exciting coming into transitions.
What about managing your own expectations while you're out there? I mean, you've said it, Richard said it, we've all said it, that the day can't be planned, right? Because, you know, the river's going to change, the up through the run can be different. No coast to coast is ever the same. No two coast to coast is ever the same. But expectation-wise, can we assume, and it's a dangerous thing to do too, but that you'll have some expectations against some of the other elite females that you go in there, right? So you... in the back of your head, you'll have an expectation that actually I want to run with, or I want to be with, you know, this group. As that changes throughout the race, and if it doesn't go your way or if it goes better, how does Alice adapt her own expectations? And does it make a difference to you? Do you need to readjust as you go along to help yourself through it?
Yeah. Oh, look, to be honest, I think even, you know, before the race starts, like, I mean, for the last 5 years, like, I've raced my race, if you know what I mean. Like, yeah, there's definitely athletes out there that you can compare to and sort of think, oh, I could go alongside them. And, you know, if I pace them for the first bike and then, you know, we can start the run together. But end of the day, everyone's on a different race plan. So, you know, if you decide that you're the same as someone on the bike and then they decide to absolutely push it, you know, at a level that, you know, you're not used to, then it kind of can completely disrupt your whole race. So I think for me, it's probably more race my own race. It's a really long day. Control what you can, but, you know, but also know that you need to adapt if something just doesn't go your way. So yeah, for me, it's definitely, yeah, it's race your race, your own race, and kind of follow the plan that I put in place, like, you know, follow it to as much as you can, but be willing to change it if it doesn't, you know, there's so many parts of the day. If one part doesn't go right, then, you know, control what you can and push it on to the next.
Nice. I was just visualizing then Alice's not racing where she wants to be. She's 20th instead of 10th or something like that, coming into those transitions. And you talked about before, it was super fun and I really look forward to seeing my support crew. You can see how if the expectations were high and then you weren't meeting those and then you didn't adjust, that actually you of day could become very unfun. And I'm not enjoying this as I expected to be. So that's part of it, isn't it? Like, if you don't adjust those expectations as you go, well, I could just have a sad face and I'm probably not going to go as well because of that.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And the mental game is huge. And I think, you know, it does develop as you go on, but, you know, you can still have a, you know, everyone can go through hard patches, right? Like at any part of that race. But I think the longest day especially is nice to know that, you know, because it is a big day, anything can happen, you know, to anyone in the field, you know, whether you might fall behind by 20 minutes, you could gain that back on someone if they end up hitting a wall down the track. So it's just such a long game. And I think, you know, even if you do get into a hard space, it's just, you know, trying to battle through, do what you can to keep going, knowing that your race might turn around once you hit transaction, get some nutrition on board, or get a pep talk from your support crew. You know, you kind of can't give up, you know, that easy. You got to keep at it and just, you know, and track down the next person you can across the field.
Well, 5 years of experience now, Alice, seems to have done you the world of good, as you're taking all of that in, and all of our listeners out there could definitely learn from exactly that. You know, just get in amongst it, do your own thing. Don't get too worried about others around the outside. I don't know where Richie's gone. He's just left me to it here, but that's okay. but yeah, you know, like that's probably one of the key things that we talk about a lot of the time. Don't worry about what's going on around you. Just think about what's going there. So I know that's easier said than done. Probably
so much easier said than done, but worth it if you can.
I was thinking about that when you were saying about, you know, just on the start line, forget about everyone, and you could go and chase this person down the road. And I'm just thinking about Richard Greer, who just, that's the only way he knows, I think. I don't think he can do it in his own head. He's got to go. He just sees the competition and he's got to go. But
And you've got to play to your strengths too, you know. Like, I guess if sprinting is your thing, then go for it. But, you know, if you can kind of back your biking and, you know, you sort of play it to how the day needs to unfold. It's a long day. You don't want to overcook it at the start.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Alice, go well. Of course, for your first lineup in the Elite Women's race, the Coast to Coast, Kathmandu Coast to Coast World Multi-Sport Championships. It'll be 2024 when you line up on that start line. So all the best, Alice. I hope your training goes absolutely swimmingly well, and we look forward to seeing you over there on the West Coast.
Brilliant. Hey, thanks so much.
Absolutely. Thanks, Alice. Well, I don't know where old mate Richard's gone. He seems to have dropped out on my page and left me to it here in the studio, which is not unlike him. But so what we'll do is we'll carry on, and I've got my old mate Ben Jordan here that I can throw in here. Ben, come in, mate, come in from Australia. Everybody's in Australia today by the sounds of it.
It's the place to be, Angus.
It's the place to be, mate. How are you getting on?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. I've had a minor mishap recently, but we're moved swiftly on from that.
Do we need to talk about that or not? Or we just let that one slide?
Happy to go now if you want to.
No, that's okay. Just hold your fingers up for those that are watching this. Hold your fingers up and show them what happened. Yeah, that stopped you from making a start line, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. Yeah. I always said the hardest thing is actually getting to the start line.
It's exactly right. Richard talks about that all the time. The biggest accomplishment is getting to that start line, and you just never know what's going to happen in the background. Ben, you joined us.
Garage door just full, eh?
Garage door. Watch where you put your fingers. There should have been a child warning on that, shouldn't there?
Correct.
Yeah, mate. Hey, so you came over last year, or this year it was 2023, for your first attempt at the Coast to Coast, and in the 2 day. How did that go for you, mate?
Yeah, that was awesome. I came over in February to do Coast for the first time. Never done Coast before. Like, I'd done a heap and a bunch of endurance sport before. So like a lot of cycling. I've done a few Ironmans. Coast was always kind of on my bucket list. Came over in Feb and had an awesome time.
Yeah, and how did it go? Like, how did you end up? We're talking about our expectations. Did you live up to your own expectations over the weekend?
Yeah, so I suppose in terms of the event itself, I'd always known it was like just one massive adventure, basically, and just two really good days out. And in terms of that, it definitely lived up to that, and probably even better than I thought it would be. just the other people around you was probably the best thing about it. Just that comradeship that you got with others, and kind of everyone on their own little journey, but in this race. And it was really special to be part of that. In terms of my own performance, yeah, look, I was really happy with it. I suppose I was most nervous about the paddle before the race, and I got down the river without swimming, and that was kind of my main aim. The mountain run, like I've been over Goat Pass a couple of times before, and I knew it was rough, but it just gets rougher, and it's just never the same. Anytime you run over it, it's just so different, and you're like, are we there yet? Like, are we at the hut yet? And it just goes on and on and on. And it's amazing because of that. But also you do have some pretty dark times when you're on that trail run. So yeah, it definitely lived up. And I really enjoyed the day. And I didn't get a place for next year, unfortunately, but I'm kind of gunning for a spot for 2025.
Did you know anyone that had done it before?
Nah. So I used to live in the UK before I lived in Australia. And I remember probably like in about 2010, there was some like UK triathlon magazine that was speaking about like world's hardest races, most extreme triathlons. And I was like, oh, and Coast was there. And I was just been like completely blown away by the concept of Coast. Of one, not only going from one side of the country to another, but just all the different elements of that and the different skills that you needed. It wasn't your bog standard, you know, run, bike, swim. There was this whole new thing called kayaking that you had to learn. And it wasn't just roads you're running on. It was mountains and clambering over boulders. And that just ticked a lot of boxes for me. So it had always been on the bucket list. And when I came over here, it just made it so much more possible because it was so much closer.
Right. You actually came how many weeks before did you go? In fact, actually, you got married and then came on your own honeymoon.
Yeah, so very luckily Coast to Coast is part of my honeymoon. So I'm super, super lucky to have a very understanding and supportive
wife.
Like early January, and I'm super lucky as well. I do have a job, I do work, but I was lucky to be able to work remotely during that time. And I would say that was a big tip I would offer people. Like, it enabled me to get onto the course, so to get over Goat Pass a few times, and probably most importantly, to get down the gorge a few times. I've done a lot of my training in Sydney Harbour, so like my paddle technique in terms of paddle fitness was great. You know, I could paddle a tippy surf ski in surf and was loving it. And I actually felt like super confident before I came out to Coast. So I was like, oh, I'm going to smash the paddle. Like, this is awesome. And then I went on my first run down the gorge with Top Sport. And I was just like, well, far out. Like, this isn't Sydney Harbour. Like, this is a braided river. And that was just really different. So I just didn't have those river skills is what I discovered. Like, I could paddle well, I could paddle fast, but I didn't have a clue what a bluff corner was. You know, I didn't really know how to paddle rapids at all, but like being over there enabled me to not only get those skills, but also then like feel confident as well. So on the day I went from first time down the gorge, falling out five times thinking, my God, how am I going to complete this, to like on actual race day, having no dramas, feeling really confident and getting down there with no swims. So, yeah.
So when you came over and you used our Team CP support group, obviously coming from overseas and turning up here, I guess, did you ever think about that maybe you could come over and do it yourself and bring some people, or were you always on the assumption that actually what I need is some expert help here, or you know?
Yeah, I actually know. So I've got in touch with Richard. Richard was coaching me anyway for it, which was just awesome. Like, just helped prepare me really, really well. But I didn't really know about the support package, and I'd kind of spoken to my now wife and been like, oh yeah, I'm doing this race and I just need you to help me transition. I had no concept of what transition was at Coast. And I thought it was just something like an Ironman, you know. And I said, like, oh, I'll be fine. Like, babe, you just hand me some stuff, put some food in my mouth. Like, you know, there's not too much to do.
Nothing to it.
And I started watching some videos and I was like, oh, there's a bit going on here. And Lauren, my wife, I kind of showed her stuff. She's like, yeah, I don't think I can really do that. So anyway, I found out about the Team CP support package, and it just took all of that anxiety and kind of worry away from me, I suppose. Like, it was good knowing that there were people who knew what they were doing, had kind of seen athletes go through multiple times in, you know, kind of multiple states and multiple aims, and that just really helped. So it was just, yeah, it made everything like really smooth in transition. You guys had like the best spots as well in the transition, which made it really easy for me to kind of come in and out.
Don't tell everybody.
Yeah, sorry. And there was just like no flapping as well. Like there was no flapping.
She's a well-oiled, well-drilled team.
It was. And it wasn't just actually the transitions. Because I did the 2-day, you have the overnight in Klondike Corner. So not having the stress of trying to sort all of that out was really, really good. And there's little things like Sandra telling us what time we need to be on the start line, so us not having to walk over and find out what our start wave times was. So I think it was all those little things that just took what could be quite a stressful thing doing into actually quite an enjoyable thing, and you can actually just focus on like dealing with the event in front of you.
And do you think that'd be like? Do you think the transition thing and getting, you know, getting your head around that is that the trickiest thing for an overseas athlete?
Yeah, because I don't think you have any idea about what that is. Like, I mean, the kayak transition as an example, right? When you cycle to Whitebridge and you come down, you know, it's just a sea of kayaks in front of you, and then you've got to get yourself down there. You've got to get all the right kit on, and there's quite a lot of kit to one, get off, and then two, get on, because once you push off and you're going down that river, yeah, that's it. It's just you and whatever you've got on you. And if you've forgotten anything, like, you're buggered, and you're in that kayak, you know, 4 or 5, you know, some people in there 6 hours, and that's a long time to be in that kayak. So yeah, I just don't think someone coming from overseas would have any concept of what that would look like. And then also when you get out of the kayak as well, just, you know, you're pretty tired, and you've got a 70k bike to do after that, and you know, it's hard to explain how you'll be feeling right then. And just knowing that you've got people who have seen it all before and know what they're doing and can get you on that bike and get you to Brighton Beach is exactly what you need. So no, if I was coming overseas, I would be, yeah, I think it's really easy to be ignorant of the logistic challenges around coast, because there's a lot going on both before the event and during the event, and yeah, you need people who know what they're doing.
Yeah, and I think whether it's Team CP or whether it's your own support crew, or whatever, they are the support crew we always talk about are some of the most important people in this race. And often we say that you go from support crew to athlete. You do a support crew 1 year and then you become an athlete the next year. But on other occasions, we see athletes coming backwards and becoming a support crew. And like you say, they are some of the best support crew you can have because they've got all that knowledge. And I believe, Ben, you're coming to give back next year. You're going to come and be a part of our support crew package and try and give some of your learnings back to the new people coming in.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So yeah, I'm going to come back for Coast and help as part of the support crew. In February. And I think the reason I'm doing that is one of the best things about Coast was just the other people that I met. I met people, you know, for like 24 hours, 3 days, and they're like your best mates within like 4 hours of meeting them. And you get to Klondike Corner and you're camping and you're best buddies of everyone. And then you find out who's in your start wave in the morning. So like I was in the same start wave as Boyd, who was a guy who came over from Ireland. And we were both pretty nervous about the kayak leg, but we kind of had this like nice pact between us, and we kind of shared in that adversity together. And then on the bike leg, we almost both didn't want the bike leg to end because we were like, oh God, the bike leg ends, we've got to get in that bloody boat. But we both kind of helped each other through that kind of time. And that was really nice. And just, yeah, I really enjoyed like like they were nice little boys, then get to the finish line, you know, of COAT as well.
And get a medal.
Yeah, and go to the middle. I just felt it's just that shared experience that you've all gone through together. And yeah, it's not just you that gets you. It's not just you that takes yourself from one side of New Zealand to the other. There's a huge amount of people supporting you through that. And it's really special to be part of that and part of someone's journey in that. It's awesome.
Just before we go, Richard's actually finally got himself back and got himself organized. In fact, we might even bring him in. I've been just holding him out there in the cold. Here he is, he's back. But Ben, probably what's some key learnings from you as a now completed the Coast to Coast 2 day and about to come back as a support crew? What would your key learnings be out there to all of those that are listening to our podcast? If they're listening to it for their first time, what advice could you give them?
Obviously, get organised early. Like there's quite a lot of kit to organise for Coast, and it sneaks up on you. I got myself organised quite early, and I was really happy with that. I saw others who didn't and saw them struggling. So work out get yourself organised early in terms of the kit that you need. That's really, really important. I generally don't know how to have done the event without a coach. And a coach who actually understands the event and know the event. There was a guy who I got to know over Coast who had a coach, and he didn't really know what Coast was, hadn't experienced a Coast, but he struggled on some elements. But I think getting a coach and getting someone who actually knows Coast to Coast is absolutely vital. And also, I suppose connect with others is the best. I connect with others, but probably a bit later than I should have, really. So I think find other people who are doing the event. There's some great Facebook groups, and just connect with others and start talking to them. You know, I've had a few people reach out to me over in Sydney and been like, oh, you know, then Coast, can you come have a chat to me about it? And it just makes such a difference, because you just have so many questions because it's such an unknown. Yeah. So for me, get organized, get a coach and connect with others, because the best thing about Coast is just going for that experience with everybody. And I suppose finally, just like enjoy the whole process. Don't just focus on that race. Like Coast really is a process, and that training, you've got to enjoy that training. You've got to really lean into it. Don't just focus on the race. The race will be amazing. You'll have an amazing day, but like, enjoy that whole process of getting to that start line, because it really is special. It really is worth it.
That's great advice, Ben. I think that's the key thing, isn't it? And everyone's really willing to share as well, as the other key point. Love sharing the experiences and helping others as well, which is pretty cool. So, no, that's awesome. Well, look forward to catching up with you in February as part of our support crew, and being on the other side of it. It's going to be interesting to see how nervous or you're probably going to feel quite relaxed for a start, but then actually a little bit sort of gutted towards the back end, I would have thought.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, wish I had that medal.
Yeah.
Beauty. Thanks, Ben. Thanks for coming along. And like Rich says, we'll catch up with you a bit later on, mate.
All right, take it easy.
Well done. Cheers, Ben.
Now, for all our listeners out there, they'll have no idea. If you're watching this over Facebook or YouTube, you'll notice that old mate here did drop out. You got a bit of bad Kiwi internet going on there again,
sure,
mate?
What's going on? No, I don't think it was my internet. It was just my computer. Just sort of everything just went shut down. So a couple of restarts later and we're good to go.
Good.
Didn't even know. Seamless. I'm sure you held it together well.
The Garmin was telling it needed to rest. Is that what it was saying? Like,
exactly. 48 hours worth. Yeah, that's right.
Ben made a good point there about the friends that he's made just over last year, and he's actually talking about Boyd, our resident Irishman. And we actually had a whole group last year, didn't we, on our support crew of Irish guys, all came over together. Boyd's been pretty vocal about the medal that he got, because only two of them went home with a medal out of seven, was it? And that friendship continues to go on, and there's been a lot of chat. We've got a chat group that still continues, and through the Rugby World Cup, I can tell you, there's been some good banter. The banter was a bit slow this morning, though, I tell you, from our
school. yeah, that's right. Exactly. And I think that's what happens, isn't it, when you're sharing adversity with others? That's the layers are peeled back, aren't they? So that's where true friendships are really made, and the true colors of people step forward. So pretty awesome to have that shared experience with us, with others, and keep those connections rolling.
Absolutely. Now, finally, tonight, our final guest on the show, Paula Rule, our mental coach per se, teacher, and maybe longtime student at the same time. Paula, welcome to our show. Welcome to the Kathmandu Coast to Coast podcast.
Thanks, team. Thanks for having me here.
Excellent.
How good was that earlier on?
Sorry, what was that?
How good was that to see Alice earlier on?
It was really cool. I knew her face, and I was sitting there for like 5 minutes just trying to figure out where I could connect it from. So obviously you run into people in all different sorts of walks of life. And I was like, where was it? And then it came to me.
I actually ran into registration on the Coast to Coast last year, I actually ran into my old college PE teacher, actually, from Ashburton College. And again, I was like, oh, I know this face and it's all quite familiar, but we've all changed over the years. And what do you know, it was my old PE teacher. So, yeah. Funny who you're on.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. Alice, you used to be a teacher, but you're not anymore. You work in this sort of whole mental skills sort of field. Tell us a little bit about what you do and sort of the type of people you work with.
Yeah, so, teacher in a former life. So I was a PE teacher. I've always been into sport, high performing throughout, you know, my younger years, maybe not so much since I've had kids, but it always came relatively easy to me, the mental skill side of things, but it's always really intrigued me. So through my coaching of various sports, it was like a flame that just kind of kept burning. And after our second child, I was like, right, this is absolutely what I want to do. So I transitioned, out of teaching and into the mental skills space, which I am still doing and absolutely love. So I kind of work with all ages, like teenagers all the way through to adults, sports all the way through to corporates. But sport's pretty awesome. So it's a great foundation to work on those mental skills.
And type of people you're working with, is it high performance? Is it like, how do you get your clients? What type of people you're working with?
Yeah, to be honest, it's a real variety. Some high performance, some that are just maybe struggling with some anxiety or some stress. They just want some coping skills or some easy to use techniques. Lots of referrals. Yeah, that's pretty much how it goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cool. And have you worked with many coast to coasters?
I haven't actually. So it's pretty interesting, like listening to Alice and Ben talking, because it's a new space for me, and I've known people who have done it. But what you can understand when they're talking about it is the coast to coast is like this, it's a pretty big beast, right? But the things that we feel in those behaviors, people feel those in all different walks of life, mm-hmm. as well, in all different sports. And it doesn't matter if you're going, you know, right at the elite level versus just beginning, we still feel those same things. And it's about how we manage those behaviors.
Nice. So I guess you've got a bit of a toolbox and a whole bunch of different skills and things like that that you're looking to try and teach people. And that's kind of trying to fit the right sort of things around each particular person. So we're going to talk about
like
that
a
in a moment.
Piece.
Let's just step back a little bit, just in terms of mental toughness. We hear about this banded around a lot. How do you kind of define that? So, and what is that for you?
Yeah, mental toughness, I think, like, there's lots of different definitions. Put simply, I reckon it's just the ability or the refusal to stay down. You know, like that you get knocks, that things happen, but you don't let it stop you from getting where you want to go. Mm-hmm. Just keeping on going.
Yeah. Like I did a little speed session just before, and it's that point where your brain is telling you no, but you've got to try and keep going and not refuse to just like, oh, okay, that's enough now. And actually, can you get to the point that your body's failing rather than your head's failing? It's tough.
Yeah. And it's that whole concept that the body achieves what the mind believes. And so when we think about that, like you would have seen it with Coast to Coast, and I'm sure there's people that are like really struggling to get to the end. And you see it. There was one clip a while back from like the Olympic walkers, and they just, right at the end, kept falling over, but kept getting back up and falling over because the legs were literally just giving way on them. But that mental strength just to keep on going.
Yep. Not to tell yourself it's okay to stop now. Like, I've just got to keep going. And how do you do that? How do you get to that place?
I've got to override that.
Yeah. How do you do that? Like, actually get to that space? I mean, you've got to do it in training as well, don't you? It's not just about race day.
Yeah, you can't just turn up and hope that it's going to be okay, especially not in an event like the Coast as well. You've got to just think about the fact that the brain is a muscle, and just like any other muscle in the body, you've got to train it and work it, and it can't just be once and then leave it for like 3 weeks and then come back to it. And sometimes I call it a little bit like the aquarium culture. You can't just feed your fish once and then expect them that to still be alive in 3 weeks' time, right? It's got to be little and often, but that often is the really important part.
And a lot of that, like for Coast to Coast, I mean, for other sports, we play every week and we get to practice this every week because we're building up to the final or something like that. But a lot of times for a lot of people, the Coast to Coast is their one event that they do, that they're going to do in February. So that actually opportunity to practice these mental skills just almost don't happen. They do it like they sort of, I guess you're trying to simulate it and show your body what it's about. But that simulation is actually about race day, like actually your mental skills as well. So actually having some practice races will be super important as part of that as well, wouldn't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And even if it's not just the races, but during that training, I mean, it's all about, we're only going to perform to the ability that we train to, right? So you have to be pushing yourself up and setting yourself up for those knockbacks and those failures along the way so that you know that you can do it when it really matters.
Yes. Yeah, we talked at the start a bit about expectations with Alice specifically, and that's a big part of nerves leading up to the Coast to Coast, and actually standing on the start line comes down to the expectations of others and the expectation of yourself, especially in those times when the result and the performance actually really means something to you as well. So for those, I mean, for those at the top end of the field, it could be through media and sponsors, etc. But for most of us, the expectations come from ourselves or our friends and family. So those expectations might be to win, they might be to achieve a good result in a category, or just actually, can you complete the damn thing? What advice do you have for people to try and manage this as best as they can?
Yeah. I think, and it's quite a hard one to sometimes get your head around, it is about putting all those expectations on yourself during your training and during your prep. And then when you get to that start line, or even before, once you step out of the car or out of the van, it's actually about leaving all those expectations to the side and just getting out there and enjoying. Because we know that two of the real key performance indicators for a consistently or a good race is about being happy and it's about being calm. You know, and the reality is if they've just got all this stuff going through our head, our brain just can't process it enough. We'll go into that fight or freeze mode. There's too much stress. We've got to figure out a way to rewind or unwind all of that so that we can just be in that moment. And a big part of that is knowing that you're prepping and you're planning has been all that it could have been, so that when you get to that line, you're not sitting there going, oh, what if I'd just done that little bit more training? What if I'd asked those questions of my coach? What if you don't want those what ifs. Those what ifs are when you're in your training.
Yeah.
But when it comes to race, being free as much as possible. Yes. And that's mentally.
Just saying to yourself, I've done as best as I can with the time I've got available. Let's just go and give this a crack. Let's just have it. Yeah. Just challenge myself, walk forward to that, and let's just see what happens.
Yeah, and Alice said it too in her section as well. It's like just running your own race because, you know, if you've got people passing you and you've hit this expectations, like that can really throw you off your mental game. And if your mind's over there, it's not where it needs to be. And you throw in rugged terrain and you're risking injury. It can be a pretty big downward spiral.
That's right. And as you say, like a big part of training is actually just gaining the skills to be able to fix a tire or tape your boat up or figuring all those sorts of things. So having time to kind of think through the what could possibly go wrongs is a really important part of being free, isn't it?
Yep. It is knowing. And the same with like the support crew, like just knowing that if this went wrong, this is what I'm going to do. If this went wrong, this is how we're going to manage it. And knowing in yourself that you are adaptable and just kind of that mindset that throw anything at me, I've got it.
Yeah, and I guess that's also comes out of that race plan, is that, well, actually getting some of that stuff out of your head, actually writing some things down, so then you can sort of go through the day step by step, what's my nutrition going to be and what, how am I going to pace myself, et cetera.
Yeah, and I think that planning and that prep is a big part of the mental skills. It's not always just about mental skills, isn't just about in the race at the time, it's everything that leads up to it, and just those disciplined behaviors, being intentional, being purposeful, and being skillful with our planning and our prep.
Nice. That's some very good words there.
Yeah.
I feel like you use those a lot.
I use them a lot, you know, that kind of above the line behavior, intentional, skillful, and purposeful, versus kind of like autopilot, impulsive, and resistant. And those three below the line behaviors are not going to serve you too well, I don't imagine, in the coast to coast.
So you were saying earlier at the start that you were a teacher in a former life, but I don't believe that at all, because I think everybody's learning a whole lot here right now. You're still teaching to this day, I tell you.
Yeah, look, it's a different space, but it's the same kind of thing, and it's the same for me. Like, I love it's learning's lifelong. I'm always like nerding out about different parts of the brain or performance or, you know, the research that is out. But I find it really interesting and I love sharing it. I want to help people be better.
Yeah, that's awesome. So what are some of those things that we can, like we talked about preparation and as a big part of being calm on the start line, but what are some other key things that you can teach people or encourage people to do so they've got some extra tools in the toolbox to be able to perform to their potential?
Do you mean in terms of like outsourcing, like resources?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Well, how else do we like, because they like sports psych, they talk about we need to be preparing now. It's not something we can just do a week before. And big part of that is that training and the stuff we've talked about. But what other things that can we do to help ourselves out just to, again, perform to our best? Yeah. So are there any other resources? Yeah. What else should I be thinking of?
Yeah. I think self-awareness is a real big one there as well. Like knowing how you are most likely to respond to certain events. Like some people are really adaptable, others are not so much. Some are really like driven and disciplined and just want to like be the best. Others might be just as much about the experience and the connection with other people as it is with the race itself. So knowing how you are most likely going to respond to a situation is super important. And once you know that, that's when you can start to kind of mentally prep for that as well. So the other way is using some visualization or some imagery. Visualization is good. Imagery is like visualization on steroids. So, you know, visualizing, I don't know if everyone knows, but that difference between
describe that.
Yeah. So visualizing, we can visualize where we're just in the moment and we're seeing. It's pretty much just using that sight, right? But imagery is just so much better because it's using all the senses and it's taking that time to be in the moment and seeing, smelling, hearing, tasting. Just, the brain, we think it's really complicated, but it's actually really simple. And if we do imagery really well, the brain believes that it's already happened. So if we are rehearsing and mentally rehearsing a part that we know is going to be really tough for us, the brain will be, you'll get to it and you're like, oh, I've already done this before. 20 times, 100 times already, we're fine. You know, and that can be really powerful for people as well.
And if you know you can do it, you're more likely to push harder than if you've never been there before.
Yeah, but also like, you know, research shows that if you know that it's going to be tough, you can actually push further. You need to prep yourself that it's going to be, you know, the most exhausting experience that you've ever had. So then when you are in through that full exhaustion window, you're like, I knew it was coming. This isn't a surprise. Mm-hmm. Versus being like, oh, I think it's going to be, I mean, I don't think anyone's going to go into coast to coast thinking it's easy, right? But just knowing if you just setting it really high and then that having that as your mental threshold.
Yeah. I mean, we know lots of people always, you know, like when you're on a bike and your legs hurt, often a lot of people say, well, yep, my legs hurt, but actually they're not going to hurt any more than what they are now, right? So getting that mental barrier to go that actually, you know, they do hurt. Yep, cool.
Yeah.
But they're not going to hurt you more.
Yeah, so. It's all about choices, right? And those behaviors and choices. And it's that, so what, now what? So what, they hurt. What are we going to do about it? Keep on going.
And asking yourself, can I be here? Is part of that, isn't it? Can I actually be here? Is this okay right now? And if it isn't okay, well, I guess the choice is that I slow down a bit. But if it is okay, well, I should just keep dealing with that.
Yeah. And I liked what Alice was saying too about, you know, again, that running your own race. Like, you don't want to blow out trying to keep up with somebody else, thinking that you can be their pace. It's about knowing yourself and knowing your body and how hard you've trained and knowing what you can do. And that's, don't listen to your head. Your brain is lazy. It's trying to get you to back out. It's telling you it's hard. It's telling you to slow down, tune into your gut and, you know, what that is telling you. Mm-hmm. And that's way more powerful.
Your brain is lazy. Is that something that you sort of use quite a bit? That feels like it could be quite useful just to remind ourselves that we're always trying to sort of look after ourselves, and our brain is sort of built to do
that. It is. It's always going to try and take the easy way out if it can. You know, you think about you're driving home after work and you're like, oh, you know, I could just pull in and grab some takeaways because it's quick and it's fast. And the brain's like, yeah, just do that, versus going home and, you know, you can whip up a really healthy quick meal in the same amount of time, but it's just always going to try and take you, if it's untrained, it's a thing. Mm-hmm. If it's left unchecked, it's going to take you down the lazy route.
And those you talk about untrained, is that about building some routines and systems in place so then you don't have to think about it so much? Is that part of that?
Yeah, I think you always have to think about it, but the routines and the systems vitally important, and that's a part of that discipline driven behavior.
Nice. Let's just jump back to that whole imagery piece. You talked about the fact that it's better than visualization. Like, how do you do it? Can you give us a bit more detail about how you actually do the imagery thing?
So you definitely want to start off in a quiet space, like a closed environment, no noise, and it's just about taking yourself into that moment. Some people like to do it in person, so they are going through it. Other people actually like to watch themselves do it. It seems from like a third person kind of perspective. Mm-hmm. I find that in the moment it is much better, so that you can really feel all of the feels. So it's just a case of you're not going through all of those five senses all the time, but it's just making sure that you're connecting with the different senses. So it's just, if you're looking at the site, it'd be that, you know, seeing the terrain, you know, even just down to like the pebbles, or if you're paddling, it's feeling the paddle through the water and the weight and the power that you get from that. It could be feeling the sweat dripping down and then tasting that sweat as well. You know, like but it's really unique for everybody. Like I said, it's not a one size fits all. It's kind of like your puzzle piece. Mm-hmm. I worked with a power lifter once who, when we did this, her taste, I was kind of expecting it to be like sweet, and she was like, cheeseburger. You know, and it's like it's really unique and individual. And for her, like, that was what it was. So like, I think she bought like a cheeseburger candle. So she lit the cheeseburger smelling candle when she was doing her imagery.
So again, you've gone over goat pasture, you know the different parts of it, you know what it's going to feel like. So it's really taking a moment to sit down for yourself in a quiet space to really think through what it's going to be like when you get there.
Yeah. And it's, you know, if it's in the run and you know how much your legs are going to burn, like, just fully experience that.
Yes.
Yeah. So you want to make it as real as possible so your brain thinks it's already happened.
Yeah, right. Okay. So the bit up to goat pass and the getting up into the boardwalks, and it's pretty tough. I've been going uphill for a while, and actually just sort of those big steps you're trying to run, but you definitely can't. And just making your way up, knowing that it's going to get a bit easier shortly, just actually step by step running yourself through those bits, or the rocks when you can see the finish line at the end, but you're just never quite ever getting there.
Yeah. Just be in it, mentally prep it, prepare for it as much as possible.
So is that something that we should be playing with now? So then when we sit down the day before the race, then we can, like, it works better. Is that sort of what that whole practice piece is about?
Yeah. The sooner you do it, the sooner you start introducing mental skills or just mental rehearsal, any kind of mental prep into your actual run or your or your kayak or whatever you're doing, the sooner the better.
What about during the race? Do you use those skills in advance? Like if I say I'm going up Goat Pass and it's really, really hurting, what about imagery skill, thoughts about the kayak and drifting ahead?
Yes,
to obviously avoid. Block out what you're doing, and obviously you all of a sudden you're finished running because you've been thinking about something else. Is that something we should be doing as well?
Sometimes it is about distracting ourselves from the pain and what's coming up. We don't want to get too far ahead, right? We want to still be in the moment, but it doesn't have to always be about being on, because mentally that's too tough. So sometimes it's about, you know what, I've just got to run for 2 more minutes. Right, and then you get to that 2 minutes, you're like, okay, it's okay, I can do 2 more. Mm-hmm. All right, I can do 2 more or 5 more or 10 more. You know, sometimes it is just breaking it down into those bite-sized pieces and just, you know, tricking the brain. Remember, brain's a bit silly. It's a bit lazy and it's a bit silly.
In terms of that imagery, going back to that, isn't that also just like actually our training that we're doing? So actually say we're paddling down a river and we're just actually thinking about what is this going to feel like on race day? Is that sort of part of where the imagery practice could be happening as well?
Yeah, because you can definitely tap into that and tap into the times where it's been really tough and connect with that moment again. Mm-hmm. But yeah, absolutely, in your training, use that as well.
Yeah, nice work. Good stuff. So to wrap up, have you got any other sort of key tips, things that people should be thinking about? We're 3 months out from race day as we record this. Sort of we talked at the start of the show about trying to get specific and actually starting to simulate what the race is sort of from now on in. Have you got any sort of other mental skills tips or other things that we haven't discussed today?
I guess there's always more, right? There's always more that we could be doing, but don't get to the start line. It doesn't matter if it's the coast or it's anything else you're doing. You don't want to get to the start line and be like, I wish I'd done more, and knowing that you could have done more. And I know it's hard to squeeze everything in, but prioritize not just your physical training, but prioritize your mental training as well. And I think that, you know, the more you do it, it becomes easier. So like, you know, like Alice got she had some real great things that she was talking about in her section, even like Ben saying about getting the kit organized nice and earlier, preparation, you know, what's that, and failing to plan, we plan to fail. And that's, you know, that's body and mind.
Yeah. So use this time to get organized, basically, is what you're saying.
Get organized. And look, if you know that, because some people, like I said, like I had kind of a natural disposition to just being able to get through things. And I don't think you're going to sign up to the coast knowing that you're going to struggle and want to give up because you train so hard for it. Mm-hmm. But if you've got some stuff, and I talked about self-awareness there, if there's bits there that is like a reoccurring thought or a reoccurring worry in terms of mindset, like get help for it. Go and chat with the mental skills coach. Go and chat with somebody else that's done it before. And I like that you said it's like a real community, and people are really open to sharing that information. Don't, I know sometimes we just don't want to share because we feel a bit vulnerable and we might feel a bit silly, but yeah, you can't be vulnerable without being courageous, and you've just got to know more what ifs.
And I think that one of your comments before about when you get to the start line, and that is our job here in this podcast, is to try and get everybody to the start line. But as we talk about expectations, get to that start line, put those expectations aside, and regardless, like you say, whether, I know you said you don't want to get to the start line and have a what if I'd done more, I wish I'd done more, but I guess get to the start line and just be happy with what you have done to get to the start line and be there, right? Like that's probably the mental space you just need to be in. I'm here. And actually, I'm happy with what I've done, and let's just
get up. Yeah, think about it, happy and calm again. And you know, as Ben said, he didn't get into to race next year, and there is lots of people that would just be giving up anything they could to be where you are when you're on that start line. So, you know, it's not about owing it to them, but it's just about making sure that you enjoy every second, well, you know, through most the pain as well. We can still enjoy the pain, you know. But it's leaving the expectations aside and just knowing that you've done what you've done. There's no point worrying about it now. Now you've just got to do it.
Yep. Yeah, that's great. How do people find out more about you, Paula, if they want to come and have a chat?
So my website is thementaledge.co.nz. So people could do that, or paula@thementaledge.co.nz email. There's some stuff on my website, but yep, happy to get in touch and chat with anybody.
Yeah, that's great. I really appreciate your time and sharing. No worries. That's fantastic, the stuff that you're doing, because it really does make a difference to, I think, the enjoyment that people get out of these challenges that we put ourselves up for. So well done for everything you do, and thanks so much for your time.
No worries. Thanks so much for having me, team.
Yeah, thanks, good Paula. Job. Thanks, Paula.
See you. Bye.
Bye.
It's almost the unspoken discipline, really, isn't it? You know, With all sports, not just the coast to coast, but if you break coast to coast down and go, well, there's kayaking, running, and biking. Well, the fourth discipline there really is mental skills.
Nutritionists would be arguing that theirs is the fourth discipline.
Five wonders of the world, Richard.
Did we talk about strength coaches?
Paula's great. Paula's great, and like I say, she is still teaching. She's still a teacher there, definitely. Yep. And one of the few. She just said so many things there that were so good, but that want to help people be better. And I guess that's what we're striving to do at the same time. So, but some cool things there, like the body achieves what the mind believes. You know, that's actually a really, really good saying. You know, like you say, you got to trick the brain. It's lazy. You got to trick it into really believing sometimes. But something I like really was the so what, now what? And it hurts. So what? Now what am I going to do about it, right? And putting that back on you, on yourself, to answer that question.
Yes. Rather than just sort of being a victim to it. What am I going to do? How can I actually make the most of this opportunity from where I am at right now? I totally agree. I love a good sports psych chat. I think there's always something that we can take out of it and be better for it.
I'm just pleased she doesn't try and open up inside my head, that's for sure.
Well, I don't think anybody... I'm sure that we've added a few tips here. I'm sure this is improving. I've refrained from asking about the start line next year. I have. So, but I think as maybe season six rolls around, we could sort of keep nudging away.
Let's move along. Hey, no, well, speaking of the start line, though, like the waiting list, the waiting list is coming down. We do hear that there's a few people dropping out and things. So if you are still on the wait list, keep checking that wait list. Don't stop training. Keep going, because who knows? In fact, I see there's always a team popping up looking for another team member wanting to join and all those sort of things. So don't give up on your dream for the Kathmandu Coast to Coast yet. That's for sure. 2024 is still alive.
And that wait list now, it's moving quite quickly, like just churning through, and it will get faster and faster as lots of other people will I actually haven't really prepared, so I'm not into it this time around. So if you enjoy your training, if you're getting amongst it and it's not too much of a extra hassle to kind of keep involved, well, yeah, definitely just keep your hand in there, see what happens.
Absolutely. Well, that's another great episode of the Kathmandu Coast to Coast podcast, Richard, as we're starting to build now. So like I said at the start of the show, summer's arriving. It's starting to warm up. There's lots of shots over the internet of people starting to get in their kayaks and starting to paddle rivers and short sleeves on bicycles and all those sort of things. So the vibe starting to pick up as we head towards the 2024 Kathmandu Coast to Coast.
That's right, absolutely. So sing out if you want any more information about that support crew service, as we've talked about today, the Coast Skills Day that we've got on the 8th of December. Sing out if you want to come and hang in with me and learn some more coast-to-coast specific stuff. But stay safe, enjoy your training, and make sure you get out there and have an adventure as you prepare for the Kathmandu Coast to Coast 2024.
And we'll be back in the very near future with another great episode. Until then, train hard, stay fit, stay well. We're going to get you to that start line in 2024. Thank you very much for joining the show.
It's the best Kiwi event in New Zealand, this.
Crossing New Zealand in 1 or 2 days.
Why do I do it? Because I love it.
3, 2, 1, go!